everybody. Welcome to episode 423 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Thursday episode, and I'm going to play for you the San Diego Comic-Con 2018 Top Cow panel. Now, we recorded it with an iPad so we can get audio and video, and it's going to go up on our YouTube channel. That being said, we should have recorded the audio separately than the video. We didn't. I was actually covering another panel, and so the audio is not the best. I boosted it up the best I could in post-production, but to boost it up anymore, there's background noises and hums, and it just, I kind of got it to kind of the sweet spot. I think you can hear it for the most part, some people better than others, so I figured I'd go ahead and put it up. It's better than nothing. If you want, go over and check out the YouTube video. The audio there, you know, maybe a little little easier to understand because you can kind of see the person speaking as well. So anyway, I hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Where do you get things started with a music video for September morning? Yeah. Just to wake you guys up a little bit.
Better than coffee. Oh,
don't press that button. How's everybody doing today? You having a good show? Yeah? Fun? Do we have the 10-year plus San Diego Comic-Con veterans in here?
I know you would.
Ah, pretty good. How about 15 years? All right, so you guys have seen like the change. All right. Just a show of hands. You like the change or you don't like the change? Yeah, I'm getting a lot of this. I'm getting a lot of this. Yeah. Do you think that other media saved comics, or no? Do you think comics would still be here if there wasn't other media?
I think it'd be here, but it wouldn't be here. I have a store, and we get a lot smaller than like specific kind of comics and comic buyers. I have more in comic buyers now than I've had at least 12 years.
Have you noticed business being stable, or is it come up?
Oh, no. It's come up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's good.
I think the trade market
right.
Graphic novels has saved it for us because we have more lady buyers and more avid readers, and they don't want to be a comic as much as they want
the trades.
Yeah. It's hard because you need to keep individual comics to survive, so there are trades. But trades for us is that.
Oh, right.
Very important.
Good. All right, we're gonna play this video first. Just get everybody woken up here.
I'm not afraid to die. Wow, that's awesome, man. I've seen so many videos. That's my favorite one. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Thank you.
I'm gonna put some art up on Saturday morning. We'll start with that since you're first.
Yeah, of course.
Hi everyone. How are we doing? So that's September morning, the live version of it. Of course, we have a comic book that we put out through Top Cow and Image right now. We have two issues out right now. If you haven't read them, you should definitely read them. They're very cool. September is a human reaper hybrid that's trying to save all of the good souls from fate. He's personified. He's trying to take all of the good souls. So it's this epic battle between the living and the dead. And it's pretty cool. We have two more issues coming out. The third and fourth issue, and then a graphic novel that's going to be released through Top Cow Image in January, which we are very stoked on. Hope you guys are too. We have David Hine writing on these next two issues, which to me is like a big thing because I love him. He's awesome. And we also have some stuff going on with the band in conjunction to this. So the band will be on tour supporting the comic book, going to local comic book stores, doing acoustic sets before the live shows at different dates across the country, starting August 17th and going through the end of September. So you can catch us on the road. I think we have flyers that are gonna be passed out after the panel so you guys can come to a show or whatever. We're doing a couple local shows here in San Diego and in LA too. So if you're local to this area, we are covering this market. And it would be really good to see you guys at a show, help support the comic book, help support Top Cow and music and comics coming together. It'd be awesome. So thank you guys. We're also releasing two new singles before the end of the year, and then an album will be dropping next year in conjunction with the graphic novel that we're putting out. So those will be all together, packaged together to do like a pre-order sort of thing that you can follow us online on our Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on all of that social media stuff. So follow us and you can get all the info and details for that. And we'd love to see you guys at a show. So come on out.
Yay, thank you.
As I was setting up where I'm using Henry's computer, and I realized you have a sticker that says, "You're gonna die." Thanks for that. Yellow sticker says you're gonna die. I'm like, oh, okay. I feel sick.
Positive. That's good. Positive message.
We're trying to do a positive message. So next project we're gonna talk about. Oh, these are some of the exclusives you may have heard on Thursday. Mark Silvestri's Batman project was announced. DC announced it at the publisher panel with Jim Lee and Ben Deal. These are two prints that we have available actually at the show that are exclusive here. They're a limited run. They're available at the booth. We're booth 2629.
They're officially licensed.
Yeah, officially licensed. They're not, you know, random unlicensed prints. We have our CyberForce limited edition, and these are all of those, right? These are more CyberForce, and I'm going to talk about the Darkness in a little bit because we're relaunching the Darkness. And I really like this one. This is a cover by Natalie Sanders. It's an Aphrodite 5 number one. It's a variant just for the show that Brian Hill is doing. The other exclusive we have these little pens. There's two Sunstone and one Witchblade. These are really cool, and they're little collectible things, and we have those at the booth as well. We'll hit on those again at the end. We also have a Freeze and Infinite Dark. Everyone here is going to receive this for free, actually, so thanks for coming. But it's two new projects we're working on. It's a flip book. It has the first 8 to 10 pages of each. We'll be talking about those in a few minutes. We also have a Sunstone print. And just real quick, this book has already come out. Brian, do you want to talk about Bonehead, or Ryan, do you want to talk about it real quick? Just tell them what it is. This will be out as a trade paperback very soon if you're invested in it.
How's everyone doing? Bonehead is this vision of a near future where criminality has kind of deconstructed itself into various street gangs. And these street gangs, they all wear these masks. They're called boneheads. And the masks, they enhance your strength, agility. They sort of take the more extreme parts of your nature and put it all to the surface and empower it. And Bonehead is about a war that's going on between all of these gangs and a mysterious character who has a mask but a history that's unknown sort of shows up in the middle of this landscape, and it's really a battle for who's going to control the city.
And the trade's coming out real soon, right? Like next month or September? Oh, I'm wrong. 2 months from now.
And then
I'm really excited about this. It's one of the projects I wrote a long run on Aphrodite Knight, and I really love this character. And when Brian pitched me the idea of doing Aphrodite 5, I really just loved it. And I really wanted to talk about this project. It's available. It came out last week. We have it still available to show. Jeffrey Spokes, who's the artist, is just simply amazing. I just love his work. I'm so honestly really jazzed about this book. Brian, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, Aphrodite was the first character that I really wanted to write over at Top Cow. I mean, the first pitch I ever put in to Top Cow was a Cyberforce pitch that involved Aphrodite. And then, you know, after working with Matt on Postal for such a long time and the other various projects we've been doing, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do something with one of the Top Cow library characters on the more action-adventure sci-fi side. You know, I've been working on Postal for a number of years, but, you know, he asked me if I wanted to kind of play around with someone there, and I was like, yeah, you know, I have this idea for an Aphrodite story, but I want it to be somewhat self-contained while still connected to the continuity, and I wanted to put her in a near-future Los Angeles, and I wanted it to be a story about what happens when Aphrodite has left her masters, this Aphrodite, Aphrodite 5, has left her masters, she's landed in LA, and she's looking for purpose. She has all this power, all this freedom, but has no idea what to do with it, and then she finds this billionaire who wants to privatize the police department because he thinks he's smarter than everyone in government, and he has the ability to do so. And he might be wrong. So someone comes to kill him, she saves his life, and then winds up getting dragged into his battle. And inadvertently, she may become the protector that Los Angeles needs. So the story is really like my love letter to classic 90s Top Cow, Tony Scott movies, RoboCop, kind of like all of those high-octane, Ghost in the Shell, like sci-fi action things that no one ever asked me to do because everyone thinks I'm like the criminal guy with the crooks in the forest. But whenever anyone gives me a chance to play around in like a dystopian sci-fi landscape, I you know, always want to jump at it and take it. And the art is all done by Jeff Spokes. He's amazing. And I didn't give Jeff much direction on art. When I work with artists, I don't really dictate too much about what I need them to do specifically. I just kind of write the script and let them interpret. And Jeff came back with some really stark images in it. So I'm really excited for everyone to take a look at it. I believe issue one is at the Top Cow booth. I will be at the Top Cow booth at about 3 o'clock today, and I'll be there at least until 5. So if you want a signed copy, come see me then, and I'm happy to sign one for you and chat a little bit.
It's a four-issue miniseries. Yeah, I mean, we would love to do this as ongoing, but Spokes is he's not a speed artist. So, I mean, we started this, what, 3 years
those
ago?
Those guys.
When did we start Aphrodite 5? It was 2-3 years ago, right?
Like a while ago.
Yeah, years in the making.
That's
so,
about average, right? It'll take a couple months to do a page.
Yeah, a couple months for a page?
That's normal.
So, next, another project I'm really excited about because I helped come up with the name. Infinite Dark by Ryan Katie and Andrea Moody, who also does Port of Earth. And amazing book. So Ryan, why don't you, and by the way, you get a free copy of the first 10 pages of the first issue, so you can see whether or not you actually want to read it or not. But Ryan, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so Infinite Dark is a sci-fi horror story that takes place after the end of the universe, and it follows a group, everybody who's left, humans from our universe, on a ship called the Orpheus. And it's sort of like a massive, stark ghost town of a vessel designed for tens of thousands of people, and for reasons that'll become apparent as you read the story, there's only 2,000 of them left. And they lead sort of a kind of tranquil, if not like kind of bleak existence out there in the void between universes. But one day after 2 years, the first murder happens, and the motives behind it appear to be somewhat preternatural, perhaps. And for me, I'm a huge, like, Alien is like top 5 movie, no question for me. And for me, getting a chance to do a story like this and explore that kind of that mood and that sort of the human stories at the heart of sci-fi horror is Infinite Dark is a very human story, and if I do it right, and the idea of like survival as a virtue and humans up against impossible odds and thriving through that. And Andre is fucking amazing. He's like the best artist in the world. I got lucky.
Like I said, you can come in here, you get the free book, and you get a chance to read. Is it the first 10 pages?
I think it's mine's actually, I think, the first 14 pages.
Oh, so you don't even need to buy the first issue?
Yeah, don't buy it. It's
don't bother. You don't need to read this.
We'll just keep giving it to
Mark,
you.
Mark loves it when we give stuff away, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's my jam, you know. It's like, okay.
And
it's why I'm doing Batman.
have to say the next
make some cash. DC pays cash. They don't give you free stuff, they make you pay, and I get some of that money. Not this damn.
How long have we been working on this book,
about 3 years.
3 years. So about 3 years ago, Michelle and I, talking to Dee Marie, sorry, we started talking about a project that I had a loose idea for, and she basically ran with it. It's called Vindication. We talked about it for the last couple of panels over the last couple of years. I absolutely love this image. It's just powerful. You know what I mean? I mean, and I'm going to lob it to you, MD Marie. If you want to talk about, tell us what the story's about, and give us a little preview.
Vindication is about basically these two primary characters. One is a black man that was sent to prison. He did 10 years, and then he was exonerated for inconclusive evidence, but the detective that initially had arrested him still believes that he was responsible for that murder. Once he's free, subsequently another murder happens, and the cop just knows it's him. So the two of them are trying to solve the mystery of the murder from two different ends.
And this whole thing, it's a four issue. So it's basically an original graphic novel, but we're going to release it as a four issue miniseries first. We don't have it set. Actually, I don't have it on schedule. It's January, right? I think given the content, I think we're actually going to possibly target doing a release around doing a special and a party around Martin Luther King Day. So very excited about this. It's been it's nice to see this stuff years in the making. One thing you might notice about us over the years, for those of you who've been in the last blog panels, is we have a lot more art now. We put a lot more stuff in the can. The reason we do that, and the reason why some stuff gets announced and then it gets pushed back, is because we don't want to put out two issues and then 6 months later put out the third issue, which we've done in the past. So we try to get these arcs completely done. Like Vindication is done, all four issues done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so we've got a lot of work that's done. After 95, all four issues are done. So there's no chance those books will be late. Anybody read Sunstone? So I gotta say, this book continues to inspire me. Originally, he was gonna release this as Mercy as a separate thing. We sort of decided that Sunstone is such a massive international brand for us now that we're going to release the Sunstone Mercy Volume 6. So, and Ryan, since you're the Cedric's direct editor, you wanna talk to him?
Yeah, Cedric Stampin' sent me a very Stampin' email about Mercy to talk about it. He's a big goofball. But basically, he wanted me to let you know that it is both a prequel, a sequel, and an expansion on the story of Sunstone. I wish that guy could be a little less ambitious, but no, I've read the first 100 pages or so. I mean, most of it's all up on DeviantArt in a very, very rough form. So if you want to get a preview for that, get a feel where he's taking it. It kind of shifts perspective from previous Sunstone volumes to two of the supporting characters. And through them, you get a much bigger Anne and Alan, and you get a much bigger sense of the world that all the characters in Sunstone inhabit and how they sort of intertwine their relationships. But as again, Stephen wants us to remind us that at the same time, it's just another story about weirdos who happen to be in the BDSM and love each other very much.
Yeah, I think the key to these books is just the characters are fun and they're real. I've dabbled with this one, which we'll talk about in a second. There's a lot of art here.
Yeah.
This book's done, right? It's up on his DeviantArt?
It should mostly be. It depends on most of it. Yeah, it's not complete.
How many pages is this going to be?
It's 200 pages.
Yeah, it's a chunky one.
Yeah, jeez. And my understanding, last time I spoke to him on Skype, he said that Sunstone is actually planned for it's 18 volumes. So you're talking 3 volumes of Mercy, 3 volumes of Jasper, and then he's going to do a wrap-up 3-issue, like, massive, epic thing, which will probably be 600 pages each, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's a nut job.
Originally, he was like, I want the first volume of Mercy to be 500 pages. And they're like, Stephen, you can't do that.
We've had some fun with it.
It's like Eric Larson with Savage Dragon, you know, he's going to keep drawing this damn thing until he dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, The Freeze is a new project. Dan Wickline, who's the writer, was supposed to be down here. He was ill, so he's not able to come down. But Phil Seavey, who's the artist, is at the end of the table. Actually, we didn't do introductions.
We did not.
No. I'm a little spacey guy.
You all know us. We're all friends here.
Phil Seavey, you guys want to just do a quick introduction while you are all the way down? Sorry.
Sure, yeah. I'm Phil Seavey. I was actually a talent hunt competition runner-up for the 2014 talent, and Top Cow has give me all my first work, and after working on the second volume of Tide with Matt, I went over to Dark Horse, and I did about 16 issues of Tomb Raider, and now I'm back working on The Freeze.
you guys three, so Zach, you can introduce yourself real quick.
Yeah,
I should introduce everyone, my bad.
Oh, hi, I'm Zach Kaplan. I write Eclipse in Port of Earth, Kentucky. Eclipse was my first book, making my break into the business back in September 2016, and they're both ongoing series.
My name is Ryan Cady. I've done a lot of work for Top Cow. I was an assistant there in the office for a little while, and Magdalena, Warframe. I've done some work for Marvel and DC now, and I'm coming back to do Infinite Dark, my first creator on Top Cow.
Ken Pisani, I write for film and television. I'm also a novelist, and I publish a book with Dark Horse called Colonist, science fiction book. And I brought a project to Matt a couple of years ago, a military anthology that he's been very generous with his time that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We have a lot of the art for that. But Phil, do you want to go ahead and talk about Freeze?
Sure, yeah, I'm really excited. Freeze is a book that Dan McLean created. I'm doing the art for it. It's a character-driven survival story. Early on in the first issue, which you'll see in the preview copy that we're handing out, an event happens that freezes everyone on Earth in time. Like, they can't move, they're not conscious and aware, but the rest of reality is going on around them. So if you're driving a car and then you suddenly freeze, the car is going to continue moving until it stops. All sorts of things happen like this. Our main character, Ray, however, doesn't freeze. And he also finds out when he touches someone skin to skin, they unfreeze. But then it becomes a question of, like, who do you unfreeze? Who do you touch? If you have someone who's dying of cancer, if they're frozen, then they're still alive until you can figure out what to do with them. So it becomes this survival story about this community building themselves around a post-apocalypse world without an actual apocalypse event. And it's very character-driven. It's kind of in the vein of Walking Dead, but Walking Dead's about the characters and how they interact and survive in the world. This is similar, I mean, obviously a completely different story, but that's the backbone of everything. And I'm really excited. Dan's done some really good stuff. I'm really sorry he wasn't able to be here to talk, but it's some of the most interesting scripts I've worked on, and I'm really excited. And Matt's been really cool to allow me. I'm doing pencils, inks, and colors for the first time, all of them together on one book. So I very much am excited and appreciate the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks, Phil. This is what I'm excited about. I work on a lot of stuff, but I'm writing a new Darkness book, which should be out sometime next year. And working with an artist by the name of Tom Grenberg. Is that piece in here? Scott? Okay. There's a piece, I'll post it on Facebook and on the Twitters and stuff, but there's a cover piece that Tom did that's new. And for those of you who are classic sort of Top Cow fans, Top Cow Universe, like the old Witchblade in the Darkness, you'll like this. It deals with the darkness in the Angelus. Sarah Pizzini will be here. And there's going to be a lot of callbacks to old school Top Cow stuff.
Well, and when you pitched me the first issue, it's like, it's 20 pages of the darkness power and the angels power kicking each other's ass with absolutely no regard to any of us, which is awesome. And then there's like a page of like, oh, okay, how you doing? But it's amazing. Like, the pitch is great. It's not a reinvention. It's the darkness, but it's a fresh take on it, and I think it's really great. I think Matt did a great job on it. And Tom Grenberg, he's been around for a while. Yeah. I don't know if you guys follow his work at all on Facebook and stuff like that, but I was kind of looking at it going, damn, this guy's doing some amazing work. It's got a very Frazetta vibe to it, which we thought would be a really cool mix for Jackie and Jackie's world, or the darkness and the darkness's world. And we're really kind of really stoked for this. We hope you guys are going to really respond. We think you will, because we're all comic fans. And quite frankly, I think these guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, the thing is, it's weird because I've actually written a lot of comics for Top Cow, but I haven't written very many in the Top Cow universe. I don't think I've ever actually written one. So
nobody ever called you a team player in that.
Generation.
I was thinking Witchblade like Darkness and that thing. I wrote Witchblade 185, the last one. But that's right.
You want some more cold medicine?
I'm just here to keep you.
I need some more cold medicine, guys. Sorry. But and then moving on, just to see the doctors, this is a very early announcement. We're just announcing that we're doing it. So it's realistically, this book won't be out for a year. But I'll be teasing a lot of art over the time period and working with Tom. When we started looking for an artist, Mark said Tom Grenberg, and I'm like, I thought it was just some new Tom Grenberg. I didn't realize it was the guy who did Sandman, worked on Daredevil for years, and he really is amazing. He's doing these Tarzan stills that just if you look up Tom Grenberg, just Google Tom Grenberg Tarzan.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You want to see some
stuff
that will blow your mind. I mean, it looks a lot like Frazetta. Swing, Volume 1, is a book that I wrote with my wife, and Linda Sedgwick did it. It ties into Sunstone and the universe. Linda Sedgwick dubbed the Sunstone Swing Bloodstain, Sugar Universe, The Perverse. We don't call it that, but Linda called it that, so.
I guess now we're calling it that.
No, but we have the Top Cow Universe, we have the Edenverse, and so she's talked about that on that. It's the PER-verse.
Last year on this panel, I tried to call it that, and you got mad at me and told me not to call it that. I'm glad you're embracing it. I want you to embrace it.
Yeah. You're ponderous in drugs I'm on right now.
Yeah, ask me about anything. He'll tell you right now. That was
the idea of these books is they're explorations in sexual subcultures in a sex-positive way. This is a book about a couple that practices swinging. And how it affects their relationship and their children. Sunstone is in that vibe as well. Swing is out now. You can get it. We have it at the booth. The first volume, it's a 128-page graphic novel. It's only $10. We do that a lot with the introductory graphic novels to keep the price down so you can try it, see if you like it. This book also is available on Linda Sedgwick's DeviantArt. What's her call out, Brian? Linda's?
Callisto Lynn.
If you go to Callisto Lynn on DeviantArt, you can actually download the whole PDF and read it for free and see if you want to buy the trick. But I got to say, I talked about this and some other stuff, but I haven't talked about it in the San Diego panel. I'm known for science fiction stuff. It's very hard to write romance. I mean, I have a newfound respect for romance writers because it's very easy to make dragons fighting spaceships look cool. It's really hard to make a couple in a fight look interesting. So I have a complete newfound respect for romance writers. Swing Volume 2, which is again me and my wife, Yishin Lee, is doing the art. We also did a book called Sugar, which will be out in August. That's the cover of the second issue. And I'm very excited about this. I think many of you have ever read Think Tank know I'm a big fan. My dad was in the military. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. And when I did Think Tank, I did a lot of research and went to the VA and interviewed a lot of PTSD soldiers. And so I was, when Ken pitched me this project, I was all over it because I'm a big fan of our military, even though I've never served.
I barely got to finish the pitch and Matt just said, I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah. Can I let you talk? My voice is going. But would you want to explain what it is?
I'm very active in the WGA, Writers Guild of America, and one of our programs is we mentor military veterans. You know, they're not professional writers at all, but they have stories to tell. And so we spend a weekend with them and just sort of give them the tools and exercises. Some of them have gone on to staff a couple of TV shows, and some of them never will. They're a little troubled. But I did put a group together, and I said, you know, who wants to write a comic book? And they were like, wow, that'd be great. And so it's a combination of their personal experience and also how do we fictionalize it. These are pages from Megan Burke's All Clear.
There's this one too.
She was a Marine. These are pages from Game Over. J. Lisa Conway. She now staffs on Shonda Rhimes' Grey's Anatomy. She was a medevac communications officer. And these are pages from TERFs by Brian Anthony. Brian served 15 years in special forces in Afghanistan and Iraq. And his pitch was, you know, when you're overseas, they give you an interpreter, and they call them Terps. And they're locals, and they help you, and then when you're gone, you never know what happens to them, but it's probably bad. And so I said, why don't we do that as science fiction? Why don't we do that on another planet? And he just hit it out of the ballpark.
So all the writers are former soldiers, and I'm very proud to put this book out. It's an honor. Awesome. Ken, I thank you for bringing the product. And we're going to be launching that as an Indiegogo, and it's be like where you live. Where the profits are donated to the VA, so it's not even a book where sorry, I'm not making money on this one.
You get one pass,
and it's not one of those things. You ever hear that proceeds go to this? That means 2%. This is 100% of the net profit will go to the charity.
This is like Paul Newman's salad dresser.
Yeah. So, God Complex Dogma. We did some books with this. With Sonny Go and his group out of Malaysia, and this one I really like, and I'm going to lob this, Brian, you guys want to fill this? I'm just going to listen. God Complex?
You know, well, Bonehead is part of this thing with Sonny, right? So Sonny's got this group of really brilliant artists who all had these fantastic worlds they created, and they wanted to do comic books based on these worlds. So Bonehead was one of those ideas, and that was one that I wrote, and now I'll let Ryan sort of talk about God Complex on the rest.
Yeah, yeah, God Complex is, it's one of the most enduring of all of them. The designs are spectacular. Paul Jenkins is writing the bulk of the comic, and who's on ours? Henry Presetta is on art. Yeah, sorry. It was sort of their flagship title. If you look at their designs and their toys and their whole thing, God Complex is sort of a reimagining of the idea of ancient classical gods if they were sort of if they were the 1%, basically, I mean, in a technological, not quite dystopia, but
it's kind of a cyberpunk book.
Yeah, it's a little cyberpunky. It's not as cyberpunky as Bonehead, and it's not quite as like ethereally mysterious as Dissonance, which is the third one in the group. But God Complex is really sleek. It's a beautiful book. It's got a really, it kind of hooks you for the first issue. It's one of those books that you want to. I'm trying to think of a director to compare it to. It's solid. You read it, and you want to keep going. And it just looks slick. And Paul's like,
oh, is that a Ridley Scott?
He's knocking it out of the park.
It had like a Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott, yeah. Honestly, yeah.
If you like Ridley Scott movies, I think you'd actually like this book. And we have the trade available at the booth. Go check it out. And then next, Cyberforce. Ryan, you want to talk about our relaunch of Cyberforce?
Yeah, well, you know, when I started talking to Matt about Aphrodite, and he saw that, you know, how focused and intense I was about wanting to do a really cool kind of sci-fi action story, he asked me, you know, would you want to be involved in this relaunch of Cyberforce that we're doing? You know, Mark and Matt had already kind of put some ideas forth. I was like, yeah, for sure. So, you know, this is, it's not a reboot. It just kind of revisits the origins of Cyberforce, and there's a time travel thing that sort of like kind of justifies all that works in the chronology. But what we're really doing is creating something that's a great jumping on point for people who maybe heard of Cyberforce or are familiar with some of Mark's, you know, designs, but haven't read the deep continuity. Well, you can jump on now and you won't be confused. But if you're also a longtime reader of Cyberforce, then you're going to get a lot out of it because you're going to understand that universe, how all these relationships are going to come together and kind of where they're going to go might be similar, but the way that they get there is going to be very different. And yeah, what issue are we at now, of least?
Elena, how many are out? First four issues are out.
Oh, great. Right.
Trade will be out soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there's a good chunk of it you can pick up today at the booth. And like I said, I'll be there at the booth about 3 o'clock on happy to sign issues of that and talk about it there. But I'm really proud of the work that we've done so far. I mean, people have been really kind of warm and embracing of it, and it's been pretty exciting.
Cool.
Check it out. I mean, obviously, Cyberforce means something to me.
It's a fun book.
Yeah, these guys knock it out of the park.
Ryan, this one's done, and it's already out, so let's just talk real quick about Warframe. You guys familiar with the Warframe video game? We did an arc, Ryan.
I mean, it's one of the best free-to-play games out there. It's really taken to the next level, and we did our best to tell an epic story in their universe. If you're a fan of the game, you'll love what we're doing. If you're not, it's a great entry point, and pick it up and download it. It's free. Space Ninjas.
Yeah.
When do you sleep?
Space Ninjas.
I don't sleep. I didn't sleep last night. I won't sleep tonight. I'm going to die very, very young. But that's why I'm eating apples. So.
We'll get as many pages out of you as we can, then. Then you're welcome to go, pal.
Dissonance is the third of the...
That's me, too. All right.
Dissonance is the third of the God Complex Bonehead books that are based on the toy lines. Ryan,
yeah, that's
I love this one.
That's the one I helped them write. Dissonance is the of all the three, it's the weirder one. I love it, and I'm happy to work with them on it. But it's more of like a conspiracy spiritual thriller, basically, where the others are more cyberpunk. This one is about a race of supernatural beings that contact humanity and make a proposition, and it seems like it's created a utopian world, but there are a lot of dark, deep undercurrents. And Sami Basri is like, the art is amazing, the designs for the toys are spectacular. I love working on these books because they're so fucking sleek. They look so good.
The art style is really compelling. That's what drew me to want to be involved in Bonehead was. It just looked really cool. You know, it reminded me of the same kind of stuff that I picked up when I was a kid.
Right.
I would go to stores and I would just buy it just based on the design work. You know, we don't get a lot of comics like that anymore, so it was nice being part of something like that.
And that trade is out September, October, Elena? Do you remember when the trade for Disney's? September.
Cool.
Penguin Kittredge, the writer in Granada, relaunched Witchblade about 7-8 months ago. The first arc is done and the trade is available. We have it. We also have a limited edition exclusive number one, so we have some of those right for Witchblade Wolf World. So there's some of that down there as well. They just started working on the second arc of this, and excited about it, and that should, I don't know, should, when which place 7 come out? Is it re-up? Oh, it's on site? Oh, okay, so there we go. August 22nd is when the second arc will kick off and we'll get the thing going. But beautiful book. I'm such a huge fan of Roberta's work. Her art is just amazing. I really love it. There's some of the covers and some of the other stuff. Right, real quick, I talked about this one. This is me and Colleen Doran doing a conspiracy eugenics thriller. It's about weaponizing cancer, so it's for the kids. You know, so if you like Think Tank and books like Wildfire, some of those crazy, really in-depth science fiction, like weird books, you'll love this. Here's some of the interior art. Eugenics conspiracy thrillers are fun. That's some of the art. I don't know if Colleen Doran, she worked on Sandman for a number of years, has a lot of books. And
so you're working with two Sandman artists now, Matt?
I am, actually.
All right, that's cool. Well, all right.
Stairway was a original graphic novel I wrote that's out digitally. It's to Kickstarters. You should already have received the digital version. We're going to press on this now. This is essentially about this research scientist here discovers in our DNA that there is information that was recorded there. In 2012, Harvard scientists discovered that we could record information on DNA. DNA computers and things like that are on the way, which it sounds crazy, but it's true. And the idea is once I realized that we could record and store data on DNA, my mind immediately went to, well, what we used to call junk DNA? Well, what could be in there? And so the idea of Stairway is millions of years ago, someone else put a bunch of information in our DNA and we're decoding it now. So it's an OGN. I think I've been in a dark place for last year, other than swearing, because I'm writing a lot of dark shit.
Stairway's
a little depressed, right? Yeah. A little down.
I don't think about it until just this moment. But it is fun to wipe out the human race.
And then hilarity ensues.
So that's Port of Earth. Zach Kaplan, my man. Talk about Port of Earth.
Is this a comedy, please?
Port of Earth,
this is funny, right?
Port of Earth is a dark comedy.
Okay.
Yeah. Port of Earth asked the question, what if aliens did not come to blow us up like they always do in television and movies, but they came with a business deal? And the business deal is that they want to build a port here on Earth. And we think we're making a deal with the United Nations of the Galaxy, and instead we make a deal with Chevron of the Galaxy. So we now have a galactic gas station here on Earth, and we have to police the aliens coming through, and the aliens don't always stay at port. They sometimes go into human areas and cause trouble. But it's a very topical and modern spin on alien arrivals. It's got some action, it's got some agents with big alien guns, and some fun-looking aliens, but it's a very thought-provoking. I always think of like District 9, or maybe a very grounded Men in Black. We are coming out with the issue 8 comes out next month, and then the second trade in September. But I always saw the first 8 issues as really one kind of complete first arc. So I'm really excited to kind of bring that first arc to a close. The 8th issue has really been my most favorite to write. I'll just say the artwork, this is another Andrea Moody.
Team Moodtastic?
Yeah, he's doing Infinite Dark with Ryan. Actually, Ryan was the one that turned me on to his work initially, and I just thought it was really cool to have this kind of textured style for this book. Vladimir Popov does colors, Troy does the letters, and it's a great book. I'm really proud of it. And we're talking about doing some more next year, which I'm really excited about.
No, the book's doing really well, and thank you for supporting it, and I hope we'll definitely see a lot more.
Yeah, I would like to do a whole other 8-issue arc next year, so we'll kind of, this is season one, and then we'll do a whole other season, essentially. Well, I say the season only because for me, just to share just a taste of what might come next year, I really like the idea of this looks at one point of view for Port of Earth, and then next year, the story will kind of just pivot and take another point of view. So I'm excited to go into more detail later.
Cool. And David, you want to come on? Yeah, maybe my spot. I'm sorry, we ran out of space up here, but I'm excited about this property. Ames, don't know who you are.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt. This is Grand Theft Astro. It's beyond fast, it's beyond furious, it's beyond the speed of light. I've been pitching Matt for the better part of a year, and I'm so excited that this was the pitch that he grabbed on. It's a half Fast and Furious, half Back to the Future. you know, ever since we've had horses, motorcycles, cars, if you can ride it, you can drive it, people will race it. And we figured that would extend to single-person spacecraft as well. So we have what is called a star chaser named Hakeem Henriksen, who during a race accidentally tears open a wormhole in time. And he accidentally falls 7 years into a future that has changed dramatically in his absence. So he winds up going on a high-speed space heist with his former younger brother, who's now older than him, and is now grown up to become a fearsome street criminal. And he thinks that this heist might be able to send him back to his home era, but he's going to have to decide if he can really outrace the future, or if the only direction he can really go is forward. So I'm working with Jordi Perez on this. He's amazing. He's a Spanish artist. He's kind of got a Rafael Albuquerque vibe. And then my Spencer and Locke colorist, Jason Smith, I love him to death. He did us a huge solid by coloring this promo art. But we're very excited. If you like Back to the Future, if you like The Fast and the Furious, if you like Star Wars or Guardians, you're really going to love this book. And I just couldn't be more excited to be up here with all these awesome, talented creators. I've been a huge Top Cow fan since the days of Wanted. So it's a little surreal to be up here.
I don't know realistically what's going to be out. Probably next year. So this is like a super early announcement. So and since you're not up here, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at 3 to 4 p.m. at the Action Lab Entertainment Group, 2006, the year that Justin Timberlake brought Sexy back. So just
remember that. All right, thanks, Steve. Postal, just pretty quickly, Brian, I'm talking about this. We are planning a second season. If you like, there's 7 volumes of Postal. We did 25 issues, and we did 2 one-shots. Brian did one called Laura. I did one called Mark. This is actually probably now my favorite book I've ever written as a one-shot, self-contained issue. It's probably one of the most violent, visceral things I've ever done.
It's so good.
I love it. But if you want to talk about Postal second season, just give an answer.
Well, yeah. Well, we're definitely going to do one. So that's the first thing, right? So, you know, there's definitely going to be some more Postal. And I don't want to reveal too many details, but I think we're going to treat the passage of time between the last release Postal and the next Postal as narrative time as well. So the second season won't follow directly on the heels of the last story that you've read, but it will kind of take into account the time that's passed, and we might advance the characters a little bit. And then to explore that space between those seasons might be a land of like one-shots and that sort of thing, to kind of journey, like to illustrate the journey from here to there. But, you know, it's going to be the same old Postal, intense and character-driven and full of ethical compromise and graphic violence and, you know, my mellifluous, pretentious captions occasionally.
In this Postal Mark book, I got to give a guy a lobotomy with a screwdriver, which was fun. Nice. Anyway, The Rook is a book, if you're at Think Tank, Rasan Ekdahl and I did multiple years on that book. He and I are doing a new book called The Rook. It's essentially a cop drama set in Washington, D.C., and I've been doing a ton of research on it. This is a year and a half away, so this is just a super early look at what it is. It's kind of Training Day, End of Watch, that kind of thing, but set in the universe, so it's in the same world as those other books. Bloodstained is Linda Sedgwick's book that ties into the perverse. Ryan, you want to talk about
this? Totally cop that for me.
No, it was Linda's idea. I remember that I was like, you should call it that, and Matt was like, don't fucking say that on the panel.
I was owning it.
I'm happy you're owning it. We grow. What I love about Bloodstained is, one, Linda's artist is stepped up every single chapter. It's amazing. Her expression and her character work is mind-blowing. But even though it's part of these line of romantic books, Bloodstained is very, like, it's a tame slice-of-life book that feels very, very real. If you haven't read it before, I really encourage you to. It flies by. It's basically a story about a young woman named Elliot who, like many young people, gets a degree in a field that you can't actually do much with and ends up taking a very weird job at a spooky old laboratory and kind of falls in love with the people at that laboratory and the life she has there. And this volume that's coming out is really that character finding her place and her stride and that book really hitting its apex.
And the other thing, again, with the subjects in these books, this is available on Calista Lynn. Her on Linda's DeviantArt, you can actually download all the volumes over here for free. If you know, print volumes are available for sale, but the digital volumes are available for free.
And I believe Bloodstain is also, I think you can read it on Tapas or Line Webtoon as well as her Deviant. They're all tied in on that one thing.
Yeah. Sugar is the last of the Herlers books. And this is another one my wife and I wrote together, and Yishin Lee did the art, and the art is simply amazing. We're running out of time. We're down to 4 minutes. So I'm just, this book will be out in August. It's done now. There is a preview in the back of Swinging For It. But it's essentially a modern-day Pretty Woman. So I don't know who's past that. It's a sweet book. In fact, most people that have read it told me that it could have been very salacious. It turned out to be very sweet. Tom Judge, this is a long ways off, right? We're running out of time. So I'm just going to show very quickly. Tom, Daniel Klein, who also is doing the freeze, is doing one of the characters from the Top Gun universe with Rom, who's a former Top Cow Talent winner. This is a book, another one we've been working on for years. So this will be out when it's done, and we'll talk about it more. I don't think it'll be out in the next year. So come next San Diego, we'll give you a release date. Eclipse, Zach, can I talk about Eclipse?
Yeah, we're coming back with the third arc. I'm super excited about it. This hits August 1st, just not in 10 days. And Giovanni Timpano, Flavio Dispenza just killed the artwork. I cannot wait for you guys to check it out. I'm not going to give too much away, but the story continues following a world where sunlight burns people alive. And it follows the continued fallbacks and CL and the characters. And I'm really proud of this third arc coming up. But you guys should check it out. It's going to be great. And James Stokio did the cover of that other cover, by the way. That one on the left there. He's the guy that did that Alien Dead Orbit one, and that cover is just amazing. I won't take it.
If you've never tried Eclipse or Port of Earth, I think Zach is really kind of owning this near post-apocalyptic future stuff. It's amazing. I really like this book a lot.
Thank you.
Check it out.
That's a good awesome.
Oh, thanks, man. Aphrodite 9 Ares is a one-shot. This is with, if you're familiar with the Top Cow Talent Hunt, which is another thing, we're running out of time, so I gotta go quick. But the Top Cow Talent Hunt, we are doing another one. This next Top Cow Talent Hunt will be the darkness alone. So it's only the darkness. And we'll be posting up the all the details of it probably in August or September. It'll start and run November to probably sometime that summer. And these are the 2016 winners, and these books are coming out now. So one of the things we don't have a lot of opportunity for new people because we don't put out a huge line of titles, but this gives us the ability to see all these people that we've given them their first shot in the industry. Stephanie, you want to wait? That Stephanie was one of the winners from this year. She's happy to be in the front row here. And
hey, Matt,
1 year.
Sorry, Matt, can I say something really quick?
What?
Can I say something really quick about the talent competition?
Just make it quick.
Super fast. One thing that I think that Top Cow does the best out of anyone in the industry is develop and create new talent, and they've done that since the days when Mark started the company to now. I think there's been more successful alums in the Top Cow Talent Hunt and than any other talent development program in the industry, and they do a phenomenal job, and we are super grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, that actually comes from Mark. When I started working at Top Cow, he had a bullpen of all these guys. He worked with all these artists, you know, and the artists that Mark brought in the industry are, you know, Dave Finch, Joe Benitez, Mike Turner, and a cast and crew of really well-known top-tier artists now. And he has a good eye. You know, one of the things I always talk about portfolio reviews is when I look at someone's portfolio, I can tell if they're good or not. When he looks at someone's portfolio, he can tell if they have potential. So it's interesting. Well, he's an artist. He should be. Mark's doing Batman. These prints are available at the show. And just running through the exclusives, you know, we might have time for